I'm Lee from Wilderness and welcome to Track Chat. Today I'm chatting with Jay Lichter, who has a new book out, The Secret Life of Fungi. Welcome, Jay, and can you please tell us what the book is about?
Hello, Lee. Thank you very much for having me on. As the name suggests, the book is everything to do with fungi, mushrooms of all sorts, all shapes and sizes. And it's some of my favorite finds that I have come across in the last few years. And it's talking in detail about each of the species that is documented, a little bit about where you can find them, a little bit about how to identify them. And I thought it would also be fun to include a bit of a fun fact about each one. So there's a lot of good information in there about the mushrooms themselves.
And the book itself is beautiful. I've had a copy sitting here for about a month, and my partner and I invariably dip into it and go, wow, look at that. Look at that. And I was reading that you started photographing fungi about 4 years ago on an iPhone, and then you graduated to more of a high-tech setup. Can you tell us how you go about taking the photos?
Yes, I did indeed start with an iPhone, and it was a subpar iPhone at that. I think it was an iPhone 6, and it had a terribly cracked screen, and it was certainly a far cry from the setup that I'm currently using. I've actually got it here in front of me. It's I use an OM system, OM 1 Mark 2 for the body, and the most important part is the macro lens, which allows me to achieve the super high levels of magnification that is required to get a nice sharp image of something that is only 1 or 2 millimeters in size. As well as getting that super high magnification, the strange hood contraption on top is a custom built diffuser which fits onto my flash, and that allows me to soften the very harsh light of the flash, so I get this nice even light that's distributed. To get slightly more nerdy with the camera and photography jargon, each shot is not a single image. Each image that you see in the book is actually a collection of anywhere from 50 to up to 150 images. And I use a process called focus stacking, which it allows you to get an entire subject nice and sharp and in focus. So what happens in the focus stacking process is I will start my stack, as it's called, at the very front of the subject. So imagine you're taking a photo of, say, a cat from head on. I would start my focus stack just in front of the cat's nose, and I let the stack run, and each image, the focal plane shifts back incrementally by, depending on how big the subject is, it could be by a fraction of a millimeter each time, and it will take slices of the subject, and it will work its way through. Each slice captures a different portion in focus, and then afterwards I use a program called Helicon Focus, which allows me to stack all of those images together, and it extracts the sharp point from each image, which eventually combines to form one nice sharp image. So it's quite a laborious process to get one photo. It can take quite a long time.
And how do you know what you're looking at when you're out and about searching for fungi that is that small?
That is part of the fun, is finding out and not being entirely sure a lot of the time. Once you spend quite a lot of time in the certain different environments, you kind of get to know what species you can usually expect to see, say, associated with tea tree or associated with beech trees or pines. Each environment will have sort of a different set of mushrooms that will often appear. And identifying stuff that is really, really tiny is quite difficult, because a lot of the time the immature fruiting bodies actually look quite different to the larger mature fruiting bodies. But luckily for me, often there are larger ones nearby, or on the same stick or on the same leaf, that I can use as my reference point. That's one way of doing it. But to be extra sure, I like to use a website called iNaturalist, which is very, very helpful. It's not just for mushrooms. You can use it for just about anything. It's a great free tool. And the best thing about iNaturalist is that I can upload a photo and I can say, I think this is XYZ species. And a lot of the time, the experts in the field are very active on the website as well. And they can also chime in on my observation that I upload, and they can say, no, actually, you're wrong. It's this, which is quite often the case. So it's having a second opinion is hugely helpful. But eventually you do really get to know what you're looking at, and you become familiar with a lot of the species, or at least a lot of the families that you tend to find. You can kind of identify shared traits across various different genuses.
What is it about fungi that fascinates you, and how did this fascination start?
Everything. There's such a cool and underappreciated group of organisms. I think one of the things that really intrigued me was, I've mentioned this before, was seeing seeing an anemone stinkhorn, which is this crazy looking mushroom. And it looks like a sort of a black and red octopus that emerges from this egg, and it produces a scent which is similar to rotting flesh. And so I came across one of these and I thought, what is that? I've never seen anything like that before. I never knew that a mushroom could look like that before. I didn't know it could smell like that. And so I went and looked it up, and I found out that it's producing this horrible rotten flesh smell so that it can attract flies, which in turn spread its spores. The sort of ingenuity of the fungal kingdom really became apparent to me after I started learning about these kind of more oddball species like that. But it, in general, it was working as a gardener, and I would be crawling around in people's gardens and I'd be pulling out weeds, and I would start noticing these little mushrooms. And I was already a bit of a plant nerd, and I liked to sound smart and, you know, recite a good Latin name. So I wanted to also learn the fancy Latin names for the mushrooms, and I wanted to know what I was looking at and what family it was in. And so it was a fun challenge, and it was something that I knew nothing about. So I certainly had enough to chew on, which yes, definitely intrigued me.
I'm not going to try and pronounce the name of the fungi that's on the cover of your book, but this is quite a notable one for you, I think. This is the photo that went viral on Instagram.
It went super viral. The fungi is called Mycena roseoflava. It is a species that is found in New Zealand and I believe Australia as well. It is really tiny, and it is on occasion very, very pink. And that was the photo that kind of skyrocketed my Instagram following from not much to quite a lot, seemingly overnight. It's a really beautiful pink fungi that was only 2 millimeters tall, and I managed to get this really nice close-up photo of it with a nice dark black background, and it really just contrasted the bright pink of the mushroom. And as well as that, I got a really cool scale shot, which I like to do because it's hard to convey from a close-up photo how tiny these mushrooms are. And I have this scale shot that's next to it on the Instagram carousel, and you can see my finger pointing at this tiny pink speck. I think it really highlighted to a lot of people that there is so much of this incredible beauty that is so tiny that you would never in a million years see. So that post got almost 500,000 likes on Instagram, which is pretty wild. So that definitely went viral, and I felt like I did my part to share the joy of fungi to the rest of the world. It was quite a surreal experience.
Those of us who may want to find fungi like this when we're out on our walks or our tramps, what are the chances of us being able to see them?
Very, very high. They are always everywhere all the time, but you just need to slow down because you walk right past so many of them. I mean, I still do it. I'm definitely guilty of just walking right past them. Once you stop and start sort of looking on this different scale, they kind of begin to show themselves, as it were. You start seeing one, and then once you're looking at one, you'll see another, and then you'll see another, and then before you know it, you'll notice that there's 15 or 20 mushrooms, but you wouldn't have seen them because they are so small. So you really need to be quite intentional with how you're looking for them, but they are certainly very, very easy to find once you know what to look for and once you're looking at that sort of correct scale, as it were. The best time of year is kind of now. Mushroom season up in Auckland where I am, it's just starting to kick off now. It's a little bit earlier further south because it gets colder earlier. But generally autumn and early winter is the best time. All you need really for fungal life is you need rain and they need something to eat, which is their substrate, whether that's rotting wood, whether it's soil, moss. It can be, they're not super picky. It can be leaf litter. It can be anything. That's really all they need is a little bit of moisture and something to eat, and they will be there.
Is there like a bucket list of fungi for you? Is there one in particular that you really want to come across?
There is indeed. And I have been trying to find this guy for a number of years and I've had no luck. It is, I'm just going to have to look up its proper name. So it's a species of Sapro amanita. Here we go. It's got a mouthful of a name. Sapro amanita Gallerum gandalfii. And its nickname is Noddy's flycap, which is a whole lot easier to pronounce. They are a really fascinating mushroom, and they have this, the top of their cap, it sort of twists up. It's like the sorting hat at Hogwarts. It's like this crazy looking witch's hat, and it has this twirled real sharply spiked point on top, and they just have these crazy veil remnants that sort of hang over the edge of the cap. And it's an insane thing to see. It's quite uncommon, and I don't know if it has been officially described yet. The presence of the fancy Latin name would indicate that it has been. Yes, it's a really, really cool species, and it's quite uncommon. I remember a few years ago there was a sighting of one in a park in Christchurch, and people were flying down to Christchurch to look at this mushroom in the park. Yeah, that's probably at the top of my bucket list. A lot of the other ones that make their way onto my bucket list, they don't last for too long because I am pretty quick to track them down and find where they are.
All the very best with finding this one. Thank you so much for coming and having a chat with us, and all the best for the book.
Thank you so much for having me, and it should be available in all stores now and everywhere online. The Secret Life of Fungi.